Greetings. Overcomers.ca. The Epistle Mysteries, Chapter 12. The Mystery of God, Being Made One. John 17:22 says, "That they may be one, even as we are one." A poem by the late Brother Ray Prinzing. O quality of oneness to which we would attain, the whole of life encompassed within the Spirit's reign. To know pure freedom's glory from all divided ways, a singleness of purpose to mark transition days. Till cycles within cycles all blend their golden hue, with each degree portraying the same inherent view. To magnify the Savior, our center, source, and goal, supreme in every measure, the life of every soul. No more the dual nature, which shackles every clod, with flesh in mortal conflict against the will of God. Nor yet the tangled feelings, confused by babbled sounds, but inward peace pursuing, till clarity abounds. O glorious state of being, where all blends into one, the twain in Christ united, blessed image of the Son. To find the truest balance in his identity, where God is one forever in full reality. Ray Prinzing. Matthew 24, verses 11 to 35 says, "And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake those days shall be shortened. If any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender, he putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Come, and let us return unto Jehovah, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days he will revive us, and on the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live before him. And let us know, let us fall on to know Jehovah. His going forth is sure as the morning, and he will come unto us as the rain, as the latter rain that watereth the earth. O Ephraim, what shall I do unto thee? O Judah, what shall I do unto thee? For your goodness is as morning cloud, and as dew that goeth early away. Therefore have I hewed them by the prophets. I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and thy judgments are as the light that goeth forth. For I desire goodness and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. Hosea 6, verses 1 to 6, American Standard Version. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray and to make request for you, that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, to walk worthily of the Lord unto all pleasing, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to the might of his glory, unto all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks unto the Father, who made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who delivered us out of the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have our redemption, the forgiveness of our sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him were all things created, in the heavens and upon the earth, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things have been created through him and unto him, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. Colossians 1, verses 9 to 17, American Standard Version. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand, a day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong. There hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness, yea, and nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen, so shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains, shall they leap, like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble, as a strong people set in battle array. Before their face the people shall be much pained. All faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. And they shall march every one on his ways, and they shall not break their ranks. Neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk every one in his path, and when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb up upon the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? Joel 2, verses 1 to 11. End scripture. Vision. In brackets, this vision continues on from the vision of the anointed ones in the Father, the writing just previous to this one. I beheld then the anointed ones covered in the golden divine holiness of the Father upon the earth. As I saw them, I beheld also the Lord upon the throne in heaven, above them. He leaned forward upon his throne, so that my eyesight saw the Lord from the top of his brow, looking down unto these few whom he had glorified. He spoke and said, Bring forth unto me the earth. His voice preceding them. Immediately the glorified anointed ones began to walk forward in that anointing in their new bodies. The earth reeled under this because the walking forward of these anointed ones discomfited and destroyed all that was around them, anything that was not in the glorified state. All that was in the earth, in the world of men, that was not yet shaken, came apart and was destroyed by these who did walk forward in this new anointing in new bodies. All that was defiled and abiding in the realms of death and darkness saw this great light, even the light of these who walk forward to deliver unto the Lord a fully restored and redeemed earth. End vision. The dictionary definition of glory is resplendent beauty or magnificent, or magnificence, or if you will, a state of great splendor, magnificent, and prosperity. Our Heavenly Father is arrayed eternally in glory, and he has stated emphatically to us that he will not give that glory unto another. He said through Isaiah, For my name's sake will I defer mine anger, and for my praise will I refrain for thee, that I cut thee not off. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. For mine own sake, even for mine own sake, will I do it. For how should my name be polluted? And I will not give my glory unto another. Isaiah 48:9-11. These same verses, written in the Bible in basic English, are stated this way. Because of my name, I will put away my wrath, and for my praise, I will keep myself from cutting you off. See, I have been testing you for myself like silver. I have put you through the fire of trouble. For myself, even because of my name, I will do it. For I will not let my name be shamed, and my glory I will not give to another. That's the same Isaiah 48:9-11, Bible in Basic English. It is important to note that these verses actually hold a double meaning. Not only will the Lord not give place to other lords or gods, but he jealously guards his glory to keep it for himself. This is the same glory by which his person is measured and known, the glory that was upon Jesus without measure and will be seen upon the overcoming troop in the very same manner. God will not share his glory until the mystery of God is accomplished. Further to these verses, the statement is made of the Lord through his prophet. Hearken unto me, O Jacob and Israel, my called, I am he. I am the first, I also am the last. Mine hand also hath laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand hath spanned the heavens. When I call unto them, they stand up together. Isaiah 48, verses 12 and 13. The rest of the chapter goes on to declare the destruction of Babylon and the Chaldean Empire, the very things that oppress the people of God today. Consider this. The Lord is the first thing. He is also the last thing. Yet there abounds prophecies in the scriptures which seem to have all come to nothing. Have they? In these verses where the Lord states he will not share his glory with another, nor comply with idolatry, nor allow Babylon or the ungodly Chaldeans to continue, we have come full circle. And are all these millenniums later still in the throes of having these things burned out of our lives? Because the Lord is the first thing and the last thing. That would mean that all that is wrong must be made right, and that which is right must remain. But behold, I will show you a mystery, for this is indeed a large portion of the mystery of God. God will envelop everything, swallowing all of it up, including Babylon and Chaldea, and will make it all holy. I'll say that again. God will envelop everything, swallowing all of it up, including Babylon and Chaldea, and will make it all holy. Not only holy, but one with himself. Not only one with himself, but made so one that anything outside of God will never be seen again. God will not share his glory with another, but he is out to make all things one in himself, so that all things will abide eternally in the same resplendent beauty, even the glory of God when the mystery of God is completed. Because the main motivation of God has towards his creation is based on love, we must also understand that the expression of that love is glory. And knowing this, we will also understand that God has, because of Jesus' obedience, become the Savior of all men everywhere for all time. No one can exist outside of his salvation, and no one will. In the end of the mystery of God, all mankind will abide in the full expression of his love and glory, which will be immeasurable in weight and power. That whole sentence again. In the end of the mystery of God, all mankind will abide in the full expression of his love and glory, which will be immeasurable in weight and power. But first, this mystery must be displayed. And for this mystery to be displayed, there must first be the conclusion of all that is contrary to the mystery of God. Which things are all the things relating to this natural world that is outside of the knowledge of God? Because God is working towards a perfect end, he must and will do all things in perfect order to get to that end. The thing that he is doing now is allowing the mystery of iniquity to remain full in the earth and to continue until all ungodliness surfaces across the entire sphere of this planet. Not only so, but that mystery of iniquity spans the cosmos itself, because God desires to do a perfect work in each one. He must first do a perfect work in bringing to the surface in each one the full measure of that which is distanced from himself, that which cannot share in or be a part of his glory. Once he has surfaced all of it, he will judge all of it and finish both the mystery of iniquity and the mystery of God. Dear reader of this page, God has begun this final judgment. The surface of the earth and the entire cosmos itself has come to the full with the mystery of iniquity. Now the mystery of God has moved to counter it. Beloved brethren, we have entered the time of the great judgments of God. It has arrived. The time is upon us, and we will see this as has not been seen in history past. There is a phenomenon which has taken place in the natural heavens, the place of the stars and planets and constellations in the depths of the cosmos itself. Within the last 10 years, three comets have passed through Perseus constellation in God's Bible in the sky, the very constellations themselves. Perseus was a figure in Greek mythology, but it is not mythology that I am seeking. It is reality. Perseus is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. In this scene, Perseus, brackets Christ, is seen with his back to the Medusa, ready to strike Medusa through the neck, thus decapitating her and her head of snakes. Medusa is a type of Satan, the snakes a type of the many facets of carnality that has plagued the earth since the beginning of time. Perseus goes backwards, looking at the reflection of Medusa. In the shining of his shield, he then blows the fatal blow. It is important to note that the passing of this third comet is a confirmation that the judgments of the Lord God Almighty has begun, not just in the earth, but through all that has ever been created. Here is a biblical definition of Perseus. Perseus, Hebrew, Peretz, and Greek, Perses or Perseus, the breaker. In the Dehendra zodiac, Kar Kanem, he who fights and subdues. Kanem is also Cetus, showing all who will be subdued. Perseus is the breaker, i.e. Christ, that flies swiftly, see the wings on his feet, and cuts off the head of Satan, Hebrews, Rosh Satan, Aramaic, El One, the subdued. With the sword of the Lord, he straddles the Milky Way and has bands on his shoulders and sleeves to show that he is Christ. He has a triangle on his helmet, showing that he is the headstone of the corner. Psalm 118:22, Micah 2:13. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together as the sheep of Bozrah, meaning in tribulation, as the flock in the midst of their fold. They shall make great noise by reason of the multitude of men. The breaker has come up before them. They have broken up and have passed through the gate and are gone out by it, and their king shall pass before them, and the Lord on the head of them. Simply put, the comet Holmes is the third comet in the last 10 years that has passed through Perseus. Right now, this comet can be seen due north with the naked eye. In October the 26th of the year 2007, it had just passed through the thigh of Perseus, the comet magnified suddenly by a factor of 1 million. On November 23rd in the year 2007, the comet passed through the heart of Perseus, which is the star Merfak. He who helps. On January 22nd, 2008, the comet Holmes will pass through Agol, the head of Satan. Agol is the contradiction for the real name of the star, El Ghul, which means the evil spirit rolling around, coming and going, or the winking demon. Elgol is an eclipsing binary and does wink. Other stars, Athic, who breaks, Alganib, who carries away, Al-Waneth, the subdued. Beloved brethren, the time has come of this great judgment, which gives us tremendous hope. For it means that the end of the season of death and dying has come. We are at the place of his unveiling. Stand fast, for he is about to appear. To be continued, Kenneth B. Vischer.